Everybody all night is the best of the best, best friend weekend. We can party all, we can party all night is the best of the best, best friend weekend. We can party all night.
Shout out the whole podcast crew. Everybody already know what it do. When you really gotta kill it, ain't nobody gonna feel it. When you really gotta tell them it's my crew, it's best friend weekend. We can party all night. We got Ross moving loads, Rumble, Eldo, Nice, it's the uncle.
So I was at the gym the other day, about 48 hours ago, and this gentleman by the pull-down machine just started kind of talking recklessly, but as you could imagine, it was under his breath. After I put, you know, two and two together for a second, I realized what was the whole play. Not the most biggest of deal, because we none of us have ownership of said equipment, but just sizing up fella A and B. If B would have got one of this, he would have had his way with him. And with this just brings me to my next point. I always find it weird in life how people just say reckless things at the tongue. In life, you can say whatever you want, but you know, you got to live with the consequences. And you don't have no ownership or control how people react, how you get said things off your chest. So I always find it interesting when people get things off their chest and don't kind of comprehend. It could be an element of physicality. Maybe up my neck of the woods, I always comprehended you got to watch what you say because it could result in the physicality. But I always find it interesting when people just talk so loosely and think things just end at that point, you know?
I say, whoa, welcome to the Best Friend Weekend Podcast. It's your man, Aldo Nice. Yeah. I owe y'all an apology, I suppose. I know. And I'll get to it. But let me start by just addressing what Rumble said, because I think it has value and it has merit. It's making me think about this video that's circulating on social media right now. And this old buddy walks up to this construction-looking car, and he's telling dude, hey, don't get in the car. Don't get in the car. Don't you drive away. And as soon as dude get in the car, he pull out, he got like the heat out. Now, I don't know if this was a BB gun. I don't know if this was a pellet daddy. I don't know what he had, but he let off like four shots, like point blank, pop, 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 pop. And old buddy backed the truck out real quick. So while you watching the video, you thinking, oh shit, he just murked that dude, and you know, he backed up, and the car probably just moving on his own, like on the movies, you know, when you get shot and you roll a little bit extra. So he was thinking it was one of them type of situations. Then all of a sudden you see like people in the street like moving out the way, and then the dude who did the shooting get to moving, and then you see dude come back driving that car straight at him full speed, banged him, knocked him in the air about a good 12 feet, hit the ground, and kept it moving. I think dude died, RIP, if that's the case. But make me think about situations like you said, you know, people respond in a way sometimes you never know how they're going to respond, but you got to expect, in this case, you know, the worst, but I mean, you know, some physicality, for lack of a better word. You never know how people are going to respond. Now, that story actually kind of brings into play some other factors, because I mean, I did a little bit of reading, and you know, you never know what's true, and you know, probably we'll find out more as time goes along. But like, maybe dude was trying to steal the truck, and he was like, hey, get out of there, I'm gonna shoot you. Maybe he was not shooting him on purpose, licking off warning shots. But from what I understand, it wasn't his car to begin with, but it was a work truck, so it didn't even look like a car. But please don't ever fire off warning shots like at somebody, because that seems like it's not a good play. So I don't know who's going to be justified and who don't. But I say all of that to say, going back to Rumble's point, A, you never know how nobody going to react. But B, don't be mumbling under your breath if you can't really back that stuff up, because, you know, and you never know what backing it up means. You might have them hands when it come to like round the way, you know, or like fighting somebody who can't really fight back. But you never know, shorty. You never know where people are going to bring it. You never know to what extent they're going to bring it, what they got on their brain, what they got on their head. So you might want to play it safe. That's all I'm saying, Rumble. And, you know, I say this in response to this Rumble clip. I've been having this clip for about, man, 2.5 weeks. That man sent it to me. So this ain't new. This ain't new. I've been holding on to it, but, you know, normally I be blaming Los. But, you know, it's been hectic, man. I've been traveling. A couple of weeks ago, I was out there in L.A. I had an opportunity to go to Cal State Northridge and do a little talk for some folks. That was a great experience in L.A. I got to hang with my boy Dre Hype for a while. We did a lot of talking. And then last week I turned around. I had to go to the White House. We'll talk about the White House a little bit. But I had to go to the White House in D.C. So the last 2 weeks, I really ain't had an opportunity to lock in on the podcast. Now, I brought my podcast stuff with me to L.A. But my partner Dre wanted to talk about other stuff. I got Drake on the brain. I guess I just said Drake. So I guess I'm like Metro Boomin now. Anyway, Dre didn't want to record because he had other stuff to do, and we was just kind of kicking it, so we ain't did it. And then last week when I was in D.C., I hit up Lowe's. But what ended up happening is we started the recording, but the Wi-Fi was so terrible in the hotel room that we couldn't. Like, we tried to do it. It kept cutting off. Like, so we couldn't get you what y'all wanted on Friday. I don't even know. Man, I'm doing it. So, obviously, what I'm doing right now is I'm just giving you something to tide you over until the weekend. We back on schedule this weekend. We're going to get it popping. We're going to do some other things for y'all this weekend. But in the meantime, in between time, I done got a few messages from different people. You know, Officer Friendly hit me up the other day, matter of fact, and he was like, hey, bro, y'all good? A lot of people hit me up, say, hey, life must be life, but we need our little fix of that BFW. You're right, because I've been thinking the same thing. I got a bunch of stuff that I wanted to talk about, like my little list of topics for the stuff. I mean, we didn't miss all kind of stuff. We didn't miss the LSU and Caitlin Clark. We didn't miss all, like, it was a lot of stuff that didn't took place since the last time we dropped the pod, and I know y'all want to hear from them. So I had to do a little bit of a creative job of figuring out which things I wanted to touch on by myself on this little short daddy, and which ones I'm gonna save for when me and Los get together. So anything you don't hear me touch on, like I guess them rappers, I'm probably not gonna talk about all them rappers teaming up on Drake. I think I need Los to be there to have that conversation. But I'm going to talk about the things that I can talk about. Hopefully we get you a little midweek daddy, something you could bob to. And I already done kind of stepped on one, but shit, if I, you know, was a listener of Best Friend Weekend and them boys ain't gave me a podcast in about 2.5 weeks, shit, that would burn my boot ass. So let me give you a couple of other things that burn my boot at this week. And I already said the first one that burns my boot at, and that is bad Wi-Fi in a hotel. Listen, I'm not ever gonna be the person who gonna spend the $7.99. That might be the price on the flight for Wi-Fi. I don't know. I'm never gonna buy the expensive daddy Wi-Fi on on any hotel room. What you give me should be good enough. And I don't even understand why they got like dial-up speed Wi-Fi in hotels anyway. We got high-speed Wi-Fi everywhere else. Like, why you don't have the premium primo daddy, like that 200 up, 200 down in every hotel? I mean, it should be. We should be at that place in the world right now. But for whatever reason, it wasn't. But this specific hotel I was in... And I ain't gonna call him out, but it was a higher place in the D.C., in the National Mall. But that boy was like, nothing. Like, my phone, the podcast recordings, like I said, that we were trying to do, nothing. TV, the TV was going in and out the whole time. It was bad. I almost wanted to ask them to switch my rooms, but, I mean, once you take your bags out and put them down in your room, I mean... Ain't no real switching rooms after that, unless it's like tragedy, unless it's some bed bugs or something else going on. I'm locked in. I'm already there. So that's how that happened. But, you know, all of that to say, something I hated to deal with, something I never really have to deal with, but I had to deal with it then. Bad Wi-Fi burns my boot end, man. Let me tell you the next thing that burns my boot end this week, and that is waiting at the airport. So I just referenced going to LA to see Sun. So when I pulled up in LA, boom, like maybe four o'clock. Let's say 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon a couple of weeks ago. I touched down in LA, hop off the flight, you know what I'm saying, get my bags. And, you know, when I was en route over there, the homie Dre was like, hey, hit me up when you get to LA. I was like, all right, cool. And he's saying, what time your flight land? And I told him, he was like, well, I'll scoop you. And I'm like, So, you know, when I got there, I hit him up. So the thing is, man, I'm just full disclosure. Going to the airport, coming from the airport, it's time out for that. I might have said it on the podcast before, but it needs to be reiterated. It is time out for going to or fro the airport. This is why they make Ubers, especially if it's a work-related thing. This is why they make Ubers. Like, I don't want to inconvenience anybody by having them come to the airport to pick me up or drop me off. And I don't want to be inconvenienced by having to drive there. But thirdly and most importantly, man, when I walk out that airport with my bag, I'm ready to get to going where I'm going. I don't like to stand around and wait for somebody to get me because they're in traffic, because of whatever. My man's had me out there for about a good 15 minutes. Though. Like, it's too much. I don't know what y'all waiting limit is, but shit, 3 to 5 minutes, I need to be scooped. Otherwise, I need to be in that Uber, and it's okay. If you can't make it, it's okay. Just let me know. I'll Uber, I'll be fine. Unless I'm going some exorbitant distance away. Yeah, we're gonna have to time out for that because it's time out for waiting in the airport. Listen, the next thing that burns my Buddha this week, and listen, a lot of these, obviously you could tell, travel related because I've been doing a lot of travel, but the next one that burns my Buddha is buying the two outside seats on the flight and not the middle one. And let me put down what I'm thinking. When I caught this flight, I'm walking in this joint and I go to my seats. Now granted, this was, they did some weird stuff with seats for one of these flights. I don't remember. I think it was the DC trip. One of them, they booted me straight. They was like, nah, you paid for this seat, but we're going to put you in further in the back because this lady got a broke leg and she need to sit there. I was like, oh, that's wild that you would move me to accommodate somebody else. You don't know if I got a broke leg. But so they did the thing. I didn't put up too much of a hassle, but that's how that went. But it was actually coming back from LA. So I get in the seat, and across from me is three seats. And the only reason I kind of recognize the play is that there was this husband and wife kind of going back and forth talking, and they were standing up in the line, like, you know, they call group A, group B, group C, whatever, group 1, 2, 3. They was in group 3, but they were standing up there like group. Like, no, they was in group 2, but they were standing up there like group 1. They was always trying to get on quick, right? That didn't happen. So they booted them down to group 2, where they were supposed to be. So there's like the first people in group 2 who got on. So they gets on the flight, and it was noticeable. So when I walk up to sit, I'm sitting across from him, and he sits on the window, and she sits on the aisle, or vice versa. And they got a seat between them. So I'm kind of like, huh. So then this little dude walk in, obviously he looked like a flight attendant type of guy, and he was probably just catching a flight. And he sit between them. And I'm just kind of looking at the whole shit play out, and I'm like, man, that's wild energy. I get it, right? Like, I get it from this standpoint. Their whole little play was probably buy the outside seat, buy the inside seat. If somebody come, if you know, somebody might not want to sit in the middle. So they'll get them a whole little section by themselves. But the question becomes, when somebody actually does show up to the middle, like, what do you do? Are you supposed to vacate your seat? Like, and say, hey, bro, like, we both gonna sit on the aisle, and, you know, and you get the aisle or you get the window. But either way, you sit next to your spouse, don't you? That was crazy. Dude and his old lady did not sit next to each other. They let a dude just sit between them the whole flight because she got to have the aisle and he got to have a window or vice versa. And I just think that was some crazy stuff. I feel like part of flying as a family is that unless you on two different roles and y'all both really feel adamant that, you know, y'all making that decision, we both windows, so we're going to sit in front of each other. Okay, cool. But if you're making that decision that y'all going to be on the same row and then you're just letting somebody sit between, I feel like I don't be wanting to touch people on the airplane like that. I don't want people breathing my same air that close to me. I don't like that kind of, that piece of it. So the fact that y'all would hop on a plane and really just let whoever show up sit between y'all is just, it's wicked activity. That's what they chose to do. Still burns my boudin, man. Look, the next thing that burns my boudin this week is I got in one of these Ubers the other day, and I thought I saw a fish finder on, like, this dude Uber. But I looked for a while, and I realized, man, that thing looked like a Garmin, bro. Nah, hear me out. Probably wasn't a Garmin. But maybe it was, right? And if it was a Garmin, like, do those things still update? Like, do you have to put in a CD and update your Garmin every couple weeks? I know that I think Garmin had gotten into the watch game, if I'm not mistaken. Like, you know, Apple Watch and you know, Fitbit, and then Garmin got one too. Like, they hopped in the game. I think that's it's an interesting way to redefine yourself. It's kind of like, I guess, how Netflix used to be in a Blockbuster game, then got into the game they in. Like, when a certain type of revenue dry up, how you pivot. I would think Garmin shouldn't be in the watch game. I would think Garmin should have had an app. So, like, you know, like Garmin should be Waze, right? Right? Like, they should have had all of the IP on, like, what Waze became, and they should be able to do that. But, you know, when you got, like, some legacy hardware that dry up, like, you got to figure out something else to do. But, like, I don't know. Maybe it shouldn't be watches. I don't know. Garmin could do a whole bunch of other. I don't know. This is, I'm thinking it out loud because it's kind of weird. But I think I saw a Garmin. That's all I'm saying. Listen, the last thing that burns my booty on this little mini week episode is job work management platforms. Now, I don't know if your job got one. Everybody got systems, right? So at some jobs, you're on a Google Calendar. Some, you do Outlook, right? Some jobs, you got to check in at a certain time. Some people use Teams. Some people use Zoom, right? Some people use the Google Suite. Some people use Microsoft. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down, right? This is real. This is real stuff, right? Job work management platforms is like these things that they put tasks in them, and then you gotta, like, whoever's on the team working on the task logs on to these things. I think Trello used to be one of those. Anyway, man, if I can tell you one thing that drives me, is those things, bruh. Like, it's literally so a few people who really need, like, management to do their job, they got them a little platform to do it. And everybody else on the team who has the ability to kind of do these things on their own got to learn how to use these platforms, because a couple people on your team need to have those platforms. It's crazy. And it's something I just hate. So whenever I hear somebody talking about, oh, we need to do a little thing so we can stay organized. No, you need to stay organized. Not me. But when people, I mean, that's a whole nother thing. When people push their needs onto you, cause they need something, but you don't need it, bruh. Just in general, that burns my boudin, man. But look, I talked a little bit about the White House, and what I mentioned specifically was, you know, I was out there, man, you know, being a voice for Black America. Let me tell you how that happened real quick. So, the boss hit me up, you know, we had done some commitments a while back, talking about some of the programs we run at my 9-to-5, and like you know, in those commitments, you say you're going to do certain work. And, you know, we do certain work with certain populations that have been historically excluded in the past, some underrepresented groups, and done some real big work with them and committed to do some big work for them in the future. And so we submitted one of those to, like, the Department of Education. And the U.S. Department of Education just, you know, they liked one of our stuff, our commitments. They accepted it. And then basically they reached out and was like, can y'all come to this event that we're going to celebrate some of these commitments at this event, this STEM event, right? So I'm like, you know, I get told, hey, Al, you go check that out. So shit, I pull up. I'm like, all right, I'll go to D.C. for it. So I got there and I put the address that they had been sending in my little device. It looked like this federal building, but it was like, you know, kind of not super close to everything, but it was super a federal building. So the morning of the event, I get up, I put my little suit on, little blue suit, nice, fresh to death, put some dunks on because, you know, boys is going to do it the way I'm doing it, man. I'm coming with some swag. So I step out, I have me some little breakfast. And then I'm like, let me go there early so I can get there early. So I get to walking because it was walking distance from the hotel. I get to walking and I look up. I say, let me just make sure it's the right building. Man, I put the address in there. The address was like, nope, we're like 4 miles away. So I'm stressed. So man, I'm like, where the Eisenhower building at? Man, call the Uber. Uber come in like 4 minutes. Scoop me up. I got to be there at a certain time because they said I got to get through security. I had to do these security clearances like the week before. But I figured, hell, must just be government buildings and that's how they roll. So, man. So they get me there and I'm riding. And all of a sudden I realize I'm on this street. And I look up and I'm like, hold up. This is the White House right here. Okay. So my little Uber driver dropped me off. And boy has gone on like a little, take me down a little back passage. You know, I got to go through security like I'm at the airport. Then I got to go through a second security. Then I get a little thing. Next thing you know, boy's in that house. You feel me? I'm in that house with a suit on. With a suit on in the house. You know what I'm saying? So now my whole attitude changed. Now I'm like, okay. Now I gotta spiffy my little tie up. Just so happened I knew some people at the event. So I'm walking, we go to this particular room. I don't remember what the room was called. You know, I ain't a historian of sorts. Let's just call it the West Wing or whatever, the Oval Office, some shit. We was in some White House shit, right? We go to the meeting we had at. It's a whole like 4 hour type of joint. We walk out, they're like, oh, this Kamala little office right here. Boom, boom, boom. This whatever, whatever. And we walking through stuff, looking at some things, taking some pictures. Man, it was kind of a little what's up, you know, event to be able to do it. But, you know, what I realized was when I was talking to a lot of the individuals that, man, you know, this run of the mill kind of for the work that I'm in. I just don't always, I'm fairly newer to certain circles, but, you know, it's still a cool experience, you know, growing up, going through school, taking civics, taking free enterprise, taking world history and everything else to, you know, to have your job take you there and actually doing work over there and actually getting to talk a little piece in the house is always some cool stuff. So, you know, this what's up. Getting to be the voice for black folks, which is sometimes stressful, but you know, it is what it is. I'm laughing because when I got back, because I went on a Thursday, came back on a Friday, and then Saturday morning, I'm right back out there coaching this softball team, little girl's softball team. So I'm out there, and like some of the, they had saw the pictures online, and some of the other dads and whatever was like, oh, man, what you was at the White House for? My dad's, mom's, whatever. One of them, I said, yeah, you know, just kind of getting my talking points together and, you know, just thinking of better ways to serve my constituency then now they all want to ask what you do. Because like we said on the podcast before, when you do youth sports, nobody knows who nobody, what anybody really do in real life. So now they all interested in what do you do? Cause you at the White House, right? So I'm telling dude a little bit about running for office and shit. Like I'm like telling him I'm gonna run for school board and, you know, I'm telling him about some certain things. Now if I'm gonna do that or not, you know, that remains to be seen, but I was having that conversation. Old buddy gonna say, well, yeah, you might want to clean it up a little bit. You look a little gruffy, rough around the edges for the, you know, for some of those Republicans and Democrats, talking points. I just looked at that motherfucker like, hey, bro. man, you don't know nothing about nobody. Like, and it's funny, right? To kind of hear people say that. And I'm like, you also kind of maybe expressing a little bit of your prejudice. But I didn't even hop on his head. I just talked over his head and, you know, kind of let him know that, like, I'm big dog in this shit and you don't know nothing about what I'm doing. So you can ask why I'm at the White House. I'll tell you a little bit. But then we'll keep it moving, man. Like, because we obviously work in different circles. We obviously move in different spaces in the world. My space is a different space than your space. And I wouldn't trade with you for nothing. So it is what it is. That was a whole little wild event weekend. I actually got charged up while we was at this tournament, because my old lady came in there and whatever. They make you pay $7 at the door to go into these parks. And we was walking in together and the dude gonna say verbatim, hey, did you pay? Where's your wristband? And I had a wristband, she didn't. So she said, like, the kids was crying. She's like, I'm going to go put the kids down. I'm going to come back and pay. And dude was like, no, you need to do it right now. I can't let you in because I've been letting people in all day and they haven't come back. So when he said that, I was like, so you've been letting people in? And he was like, yeah, I've been letting people in all day and they haven't come back. And I'm like, so then what's making you stop us right now if you've been letting people in? Keep in mind, these events be 90% white folks at these, and Hispanic people, but 90% white folks. So what is it about us that's making you want to stop us at this gate and not the people before? Oh, well, then it goes to the whole thing. I say, it just sound wild. And so I'm back and forth with him for a second. I'm like, hey, man, just tell me how to pay, man, so I can get the fuck out of my face. Like, I'm literally like, tell me how to pay so I can walk away from here because I gotta go coach and I need to get the fuck out of your face because you're bothering the shit out of me. So he gave me the little thing. I scanned the little Zoom. Boom, we out of there. So, not Zoom, I'm sorry. I scanned the little cash out. So I go, we about to start the game. I'm over there on the field. A lady walk up and say, hey, who's the lady over there with the blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, man, y'all go ask her. And then she like, oh, well, we need to figure out something about payments, whatever. And she's coming directly to me. And I'm like, hold up, you talking about my old lady? I'm like, hey, we paid at the thing. We paid the $7. What are you here for? What do you need? What? Why are you here? And I turn, and she's like, I'm just trying to figure out if y'all use, how y'all paid. And I turn, and she with a cop. Now, y'all might hear this story again. I might tell this one again with Los to get his feedback. But she with a cop. And I say, hold up. I pay using, why are you here with the police? And she's like, oh no, he just walked over here at the same time as me on, like, coincidentally. I said, nah, I don't like these optics. And she was like, well, I was like, nah, this is not okay. You don't walk over here with the police, like, behind $7 to try to figure out how I paid my $7 for entry into, nah, that's just not, that dog ain't gonna hunt. So I go back, like, I'm wilding. Like, I'm kind of like, nah, man, whatever. I told her how I paid. I said, I paid using Cash App. And, oh, he didn't know, and that's all he needed to know. No, you coming over here trying to flex with the police to try to act like you gonna, I don't know, scare tactic me. I don't know what the whole thing is. But you're escalating the situation. And the crazy thing is people don't always know when they're escalating. All of that to say, we will not be going back to Paraland to that park to play any more games unless we, you know, sometimes racism needs to be called out and prejudice needs to be called out in the moment. And I'm happy I called it out in the moment, but I probably should have did more. I probably should have put these people on blast. Maybe that's what I'm doing with my platform right now, putting them on blast. But like that Shadow Creek, Shadow Park facility, whatever it's called in Pearland, they got to get their racism game together because they was on some bullshit. And that's a real thing, man. I want to leave y'all with this. A couple things that I thought about that I just wanted to make sure I made mention to. One of them was this. Whenever at my job or otherwise, somebody gives me their address. So a lot of times I got to get people's address to like pay them. Like we'll be doing work together. I'm like, yeah, give me your address so we could put it on your form so we could pay you. I wonder if this is commonplace to go to Google Earth or whatever it is when somebody gives the address. I'm laughing because my partner, the Harry, we were talking about something, and I was telling him about a house. And he said, man, I want to see that house. What's the address? And I was like, oh, I gave him the address. And he was cracking up laughing because, yeah, you'd be forgetting sometimes in 2024, all you got to do is put somebody's address in. And then, you know, there's like 3D imagery of their house so you can see where people live. You can see how people live it. And recently, like one a dude I work with, he was paying me, so I gave him my address. And when I gave him the address, I said, hey, everybody got a big house in Texas before you start your shit, because he live in New Jersey. And he was like, nah, you got money. So we laughing about it or whatever. And he was like, yeah, I was going to check and see how you was living anyway. So I'm laughing because it feels like kind of commonplace that people do that. If you give them the address in 2024, boys might just put it in there and check out what your address look like and get a little bit of information about you. So just know that's the thing. And something I noticed is that a lot of times, this should have probably been with Burning My Boot at, that I've done this for years. Like when I get an address, a lot of times I'll just be wondering, I'm curious how people live it. What I've noticed in my time is that a lot of time, young white folks without no good loot, without no good job, regular job, regular loot, be like $500,000 crib and like really expensive cribs in affluent neighborhoods, and they don't have no money. Or they a school teacher, or they like work at a daycare and whatever. Both of them are really young too. What my thinking is on that is just that, you know, when we talk about generational wealth, that's what we're talking about. People throw around that term, but that's when I really see the idea of generational wealth and what that actually looks like. It looks like somebody, a white kid, who goes to school, graduates, gets a regular job, some $70,000 job, whatever. They have systems in place for generations where their parents will pay for their weddings and stuff, and also pay for their house, or substantially help them pay for their house so that they can have expensive property under their name that sets them up for success, where we don't have that same thing in minoritized communities. So yeah, when we talk about generational wealth, when we talk about inequities, and I mean, you could trace this back to redlining and passing houses from family to family, but just understand that they don't always play the game the same way we plan the game. And if you're ever into Googling and looking at addresses, you might notice some of those things that I'm saying. And speaking of, I do want to say this point too. Having a big crib is cool. Like it is. It's cool to have space. It's cool to have a big crib. But at the same time, I want y'all to always understand it's not that important to keep up with the Joneses. Like, there are things that are more important than how big your crib is, or if you got a pool, or if you got a huge backyard, or if whatever. Like, community is an important piece. So, like, if you chilling in your means and you're able to do other things, because, like, cribs, cars, all of that, whatever. I mean, the older I get, the more I realize that keeping up with the Joneses just ain't, like, the most important thing. And sometimes it takes people a long time to get that, to understand that, you know, having the biggest and showing out, like, that's just really always not the most important thing. It's good if you could have it, if you could do it, make sure you do it. But if it's just to keep up with the other man, or even the brother man, shit for that matter, like, it ain't worth it, man. And all of that, honestly, thinking like that and being having some grown up thoughts about that got me thinking about a fight. Big three. Now that's like magic. I said, man, look, you grow, you live, you learn, and shit, nowadays that I'm a daddy, got me thinking about dadding behavior and some big three things that, you know, now that I'm grown, now that I'm a dad, big three things that I do as a dad that a little different than they were. And the first one, my big three is I intentionally dress like a dad. So, for instance, a couple weeks ago, I was going to this probate show, and you know, I had to wearing the Sigma stuff. I was bringing my sons, so I put me some little Hoochie Daddy shorts on. I mean, you know, some little khakis, and then I put like the polo without the neck with the really really dad looking Sigma shirt. And some dunks. Not granted, the fit was fly, but it wasn't fly like on some I'm going outside, whatever. And I found myself doing that a lot more. Even during football season this year, like Saints games, I bought like 3 Saints polos. I wear polos to, like, I'll go out with a polo and some khaki shorts. That's not a jersey. Not a big flyer jacket and a t-shirt. Not like a polo. I mean, I intentionally dress like a dad. Hey, it is what it is. That's one of my dad things. Look, the next thing that I do, let me see. What's my next big three? Number two would be, listen, I plan my weekends around youth sports. You heard me say it before, man. Like it's a dadding thing. It is part of being a dad. Like, you put your schedule out, hanging out with your friends. I mean, it happens less often, and a lot more times the thing that I'm planning my weekend around is, man, youth sports, man, and it's a thing. And I mean, the final one that I'm going to go with, big three dadding things that I do is, I let my car belong to them kids. I used to keep a nice little clean car, you know, you go get that thing washed, get the thing vacuumed out, have it ready. Now, listen, the whole back of my car is sports gear. And wagons, the back seat, car seats and crumbs, and wipes and stuff on the floor. And so basically where I sit in a little bit of the front passenger seat is like still true to who I am. Everything else in my car don't belong to me. I'm longing for the day that I can be fly again. I think I got about a good 5 more years till I could even consider being fly. But right now, yeah. Ain't for me. I think they had I had an honorable mention, which is go to sleep early, wake up early. That's the dad thing I do, man. I gotta get up early. I don't sleep past 7:30 pretty much ever. It's gotta be a special occasion, so I gotta go to sleep early because I'm old and it's not gonna happen. But listen, I say all of that to say, you know, appreciate y'all letting me run it with y'all for a little while and have a couple of nice things to say. Hopefully this tides you over till Friday. Me and Lo's gonna be back at it. If I gotta pull him kicking and screaming, we're gonna get something else recorded this week, and we're gonna have it right back at you. But like I said, Best Friend Weekend ain't going nowhere. I just been tied up in these streets, moving a lot, doing a lot of things. But we'll have some cool topics for y'all. We're gonna talk about AI. We're gonna talk about some you know, sports things. I said we're gonna talk about the rap beef. And things of the sort. Hopefully we talk about some Pelicans wins. Hopefully they're not out of there and we're not complaining. But we'll see. And until next time, y'all have a great rest of the week. Have a best friend week. And I'm out.